Another crime. Damien waited outside the door, massively impressed. But Anderson's face showed disappointment more than anything. He immediately strode into his office and grabbed his jacket. Motioning for Damien to follow, he rushed down the stairs and into the car park next door. They entered an aging Ford Focus, faded brown with grotty upholstery. There were a number of identical or slightly different models in the lot, an obvious favorite on a cop's salary. They moved away with more of a jolt than anyone was expecting. Damien soon realized that his seat belt was hanging by a thread and the seat was wobbling. As honorable as the police profession was, it certainly didn't pay as well as the alternatives. Just then he had another revelation. He shouted over the noise of the engine to Anderson. Where was the detective's car? It wasn't reported at the crime scene. So what did he come in? I doubt someone like him on that kind of business took the bus. Anderson shouted something back that Damien could barely hear. Something like checking the area when they got to the restaurant. After a harrowing ride, they arrived at the restaurant, parking in the alley at the side. No sound came out of the restaurant. It had been closed while the investigation was ongoing, and no cars were parked nearby. The chef and his staff had obviously decided to give the place a wide berth while the police were looking into the place. Damien searched outside while Anderson went in to have another look at the crime scene. Walking up and down the street, he looked for anything out of the ordinary or a car that could belong to the deceased detective. Eventually, he came across an old Ford Galaxy parked behind the nearby shops. It was an opaque green with beige interior. It was old. Maybe even classic. They stopped making these things in the 70s. He used the Rogers keys to open the doors before putting on his gloves, then rummaged around in the trash heap inside the car. The seats were clear, but the floors had obviously been used as a bin for more than a while. Only the driver's footwell was clear, if not sticky. Finally, as Anderson came to check on him, he found a receipt and a wad of cash bound together by an elastic band. The receipt was from a gentleman's club near the outskirts of town. It was dated the night before his death, so it seemed like a solid lead. Anderson's ears perked up when Damien pulled out the evidence, obviously a fan of such clubs, and said they should follow the lead immediately. Reeling him back in, Damien looked around the car some more, wading through the trash and crumpled newspapers at the bottom, looking for anything else. Curbing his enthusiasm, Anderson popped the boot and went round to check its contents. Damien looked up and saw him on the phone. He crawled out so he could have a look and saw the dead girl folded into the boot. She couldn't have been older than 25. Scantily dressed in a stripper outfit, her throat was cut, but there was little blood in the car. Her hands were bound behind her back. Her arms were grazed as though she had put up a fight. Blood and skin was congealed under her fingernails. The rope had cut into her arms where she had struggled against it, and blood had matted into her hair from an open cut on back of her head. Whatever was done to this girl, and for whatever reason, it must have been horrific. The body had begun to smell. The two investigators had to stand back. It wasn't long until the forensics team and a few officers arrived. A white van pulled up nearby, and three forensic officers exited with Dr. D. Brew. The team wasted no time in cordoning off the area. Anderson and Damien waited nearby until D. Brew called them over. The body was now under a sheet on a nearby dolly. At the bottom of the boot, they could now see a rope coiled and matted in blood, and a switchblade stuck in the corner. There are prints all over this. It was our detective. He didn't think he'd be caught. The boot can be opened from the inside, so this isn't where she was held. And there are a lot of bruises and grazes on this girl. She put up a struggle. She was obviously alive for a while and was killed later. Debru took off her gloves and disposed of them in the van. The techs finished up as the uniformed officers arrived to watch the scene, waiting for a truck to pick up the car. As the team left, Anderson double checked the scene for any other evidence, but other than trash in the nearby bins and a few weeds overgrowing in the pavement cracks, there was nothing else to find. She had definitely been moved from another location, tortured and killed. She was then moved behind a store in the outskirts of town and left to rot in the back of a car. Before they discovered the body, Anderson had wanted to get something to eat, but he sensed that neither of them had much of an appetite anymore. It was hard for Damien to believe that a man who was supposed to uphold the law had fallen so far. The girl had gone through hell, and apparently at the hands of someone who was supposed to protect and serve. They took a moment before proceeding on to their next location.